welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have one of our area supervisors, one of our keepers here, and she is an expert on birds. So we'll talk a little bit about birds at Blank Park Zoo, but she was also able to go on a very cool conservation trip. So that's going to be the subject of most of our day today. And Megan Stegmeier, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So here at Blank Park Zoo, our mission is to create an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. And so obviously you know recreation, because when you come to the zoo, you have a good time with you and your family and your friends. And then education, we have attended one of our education classes. You know, we have our summer safari classes all summer long. We have early education classes. In the spring, we have our conservation series, so that's sort of an adult education series. And then throughout the zoo day, we do different training demonstrations, and that's all part of that. And then research. When we talk about research, we talk about learning more about our animals and how to care for them better. And so we've partnered with several universities, and they come out here and they do like behavioral research. It's really nothing invasive or anything like that. It's just learning what's best for the animals. One example is Dr. Olds was doing, our veterinarian was doing a vitamin D survey of rhinos in human care all over the country to determine which rhinos have the highest vitamin D and which rhinos don't, and is there an issue there? So she was able to develop some research that way, and I'm sure we'll have her on a future show to talk about that. But joining us today is Megan Stegmeier, and so obviously we're going to talk about conservation today because you were the recipient of our Staff Conservation Fund grant, and tell us a little bit about the process you went through to determine first what you were going to do and then how you got this grant.
Well, so I am really passionate about cassowaries. I love most birds, but cassowaries are one of my favorites.
And before we get too far, explain what a cassowary is.
A cassowary is a large flightless bird. It's in the ratite family, so similar to ostrich or emus, but they're pretty unique because they're only found in rainforests, and they're solitary animals, so they're kind of all black feathers, so they're dark, but they have very beautiful colored blue and red necks. They kind of have a funny looking thing on the top of their head. It's called a casque. It's kind of a hard dome, and yeah, they're just pretty
and
amazing.
We have a couple here.
Yes, we do. We have a male Big Bird and a female Sydney, and they had a chick this year, and his name is Radar.
All right. So let's pick back up and tell us about the Staff Conservation Fund. What's sort of the procedure for you to apply for that grant, and tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so Blank Park Zoo is, again, really passionate about conservation, and they have this fund where staff can apply and receive money to help, either help with an ex situ project, so they can choose a conservation organization and go help them with the work they're doing, whether it's research or anything like that. So you can apply to get a grant, and kind of a committee chooses who gets to go. So you have to write up an entire application, kind of justify why you want to go, kind of the work they're doing, how you can help that organization, and how you can bring what you learn back to Blank Park Zoo. And then the committee kind of chooses out of the applicants, and that's how I got rewarded. So,
all right. So tell us, where did you go?
I went to Australia. So I was in Queensland, Australia. Mostly in Mission Beach, which is kind of along the eastern coast, northeastern coast.
And you're working with cassowaries. Tell us, what is the situation like over there for cassowaries?
On the Australian mainland, cassowaries are endangered. The rainforest takes up a relatively small portion of the entire country. If you were to look at a map, it's just a little thin strip on that coast. And that's the only place that cassowaries are found in Australia. So they are endangered. There's only between 2,000 and 4,000 in the country. So it's a really important thing to be able to conserve them and just find out more about them when you're visiting. So.
And cassowaries have a reputation for being aggressive. Does that play into why they might be endangered there?
Not really. I was kind of surprised when I went there. I kind of tell people now I equate them to black bears almost. I'm from Minnesota, so encountering black bears, they're kind of intimidating, but for the most part, they just stick to themselves. They might wander into backyards, but they don't really care too much about people. And cassowaries are kind of the same way. They are just doing their own thing, wandering around, foraging, and they might wander into backyards if you have a nice fruit tree that they'll forage on. But you can get pretty close to them, and there isn't a lot of negative interaction that way of just being in close proximity to them. Some of the bigger threats, obviously, are just loss of habitat. So, and roads are a big thing that I kind of saw there of cassowaries really like roadkill, which I was surprised about. So they bring their chicks, the dads bring their chicks onto the road to eat roadkill because it's really good protein for them. And that's how a lot of car strikes happen. So people going too fast around curves can't see. And
so they have sort of the similar situation that we have with deer here in Iowa.
Yeah, pretty similar.
They have road signs that have big cassowary silhouettes on them.
Yes,
like we
they
have
do.
Deer. Deer.
Yep.
Okay. What are some of the things that you did? Take us through a day day in your life while you were in the conservation organization. Tell us about the organization and a day in the life that you did.
Sure. So I did a lot of different things. So I'll kind of hopefully go step by step. But I volunteered with C4, which is the Community for Coastal and Cassowary Conservation. So they deal a lot with kind of the holistic approach of caring for cassowaries. They deal with a lot of habitat restoration, so they want to grow back the rainforest that has been cut down for different reasons. So that's a big part of what they do, just trying to reforest. They also do a lot of, they do rehab work, so they have a rehab in Mission Beach that they bring any injured, hurt, starving, any kind of cassowary in need, they'll bring to the rehab and try to help it recover, give it vet care if it needs it. So that's part of what they do. And they also run a visitor center. It's a really cool visitor center that has a lot of interesting signage. It just tells about the importance of Mission Beach and the environment and the rainforest as a whole, and cassowaries too, of course. And at that location, they also have a nursery. So that's kind of where I started out helping, was at their nursery. So they kind of help cassowaries from start to finish, which involves, so cassowaries eat a lot of rainforest fruit. They eat hundreds of species. A lot of rainforest trees have much better germination if they pass through a cassowary. So if they pass through and they're in their scat, it's almost like a little garden, and they'll start to, the seeds will start to sprout right in their scat. So they start by either collecting just cassowary scat with the seeds in it, or sometimes volunteers or just concerned citizens. The community will bring in different seeds, and then at C4, so we kind of did that. We had a bunch of seeds, and I helped them basically do what the cassowary does. When they pass, the seeds pass through the cassowary's gut, it kind of helps break down the seed. It softens it. It kind of takes off that external rind. So if there's not a lot of cassowaries and we're trying to plant a lot more plants, that's kind of the job that people have to do, is we chopped off the rind of the seed, and that will help it germinate. So scraping off the rind by knife, kind of, and then we plant those, and then they put them in their greenhouse, and they'll sprout, hopefully. And then once they get a little bigger, they have to repot them, and that's kind of this whole process of propagating a lot of plants so they can do a lot of their reforestation work.
What are some of the plants they have in the rainforest?
Oh, gosh. There's all kinds. I learned a lot about plants. I don't remember too many of the specifics, but they have, like, black bean, different kind of... One of the cassowary's favorites is a kwandong. So it's a large tree that produces blue fruit. It's smaller than a kiwi, but bigger than, like, a blueberry. It's kind of
a grape size. Is this anything humans can eat, or...?
No, most of the species that cassowaries eat that humans cannot. They're toxic to a lot of other animals.
Okay. So. But there is this great connection between the rainforest and cassowaries. So it seems they help each other out because the rainforest grows fruit that the cassowary eats, and then the cassowary eats that fruit, and then they pass the seeds, which helps the rainforest grow.
Yep, definitely. Cassowaries are another name for them is the gardeners of the rainforest. So they definitely help the rainforest stay diverse. They help a lot of different species grow. So, and you kind of need that diversity for other animals and just as a whole.
So were there some things that you learned about cassowaries? I mean, you're a cassowary keeper. Were there things about cassowaries that you learned that you can bring back and help in your daily keeping duties here at Blank Park Zoo?
Definitely. I think it was just helpful to see them out in the wild and see their habitat firsthand and see what they're doing, where they're foraging. Like I said, it was interesting to see that they really like roadkill, and that's something that is a big part of their diet with chicks. Just learning kind of about their behaviors. And again, that they're really just not, everybody thinks they're really dangerous and scary, but they're just really calm and cool out in the wild. It's just really neat to see. Something else that I was told that I didn't really know is most people say you can't really tell the sexes apart, so you can't really see male from female, even though females can get a little bigger. But I was told that males actually have their kind of tail feathers kind of curve underneath them a little bit, and females kind of just puff out into no shape. It's kind of... It's hard to describe, but you can kind of tell if you've seen a couple. That was interesting.
Yeah, so at Blank Park Zoo, the male and female cassowaries are separated except for when it's breeding season. So usually the male cassowary is in the west yard and the female is in the east yard, or do you change that up?
We do change it up. We haven't this year just with our chick, but okay. Sometimes we mix them up so they can each have the water.
Yeah, so we'll get back to that in a little bit, but let's hear more about you were helping seeds mm-hmm. to replant rainforest. What are some of the other things that you did while you were there?
So kind of along that process, once you have your seedlings, they have, again, like a whole nursery with thousands of small plants. And once they're ready, C4 helps buy back different sites, so it might be public land or private land, so they'll help with their funds, their donations. They buy land that was once transitioned into either cropland or something else. The rainforest just wasn't there anymore, and they want to bring it back into rainforest. So they'll go out and have these big, they'll get the community out there and have big plantings and just plant the plants in a row. Obviously, they have to keep taking care of them until they get bigger, but it's the rainforest and they grow really quickly. We saw one site that was only 5 to 10 years old and the trees were at least 10 or 12 feet already. So once you get going and take care of it, they grow back pretty fast. But that was another thing I got to see was some of the revegetation sites of these important corridors that the cassowary needs to get from point A to point B, and they don't want to cross open land, and there's no fruit or food in that open land either, so making a whole network of the rainforest.
What are some other animals that rainforest supports?
There are a lot of birds out there. So that was really interesting. Obviously, Australia doesn't have any non-marsupial mammals, so there's not really any squirrels or anything running around, but they have a lot of definitely lizards and reptiles, snakes, and a couple, again, different marsupials out there as well.
Do they have kangaroos in that area?
They do, yeah. Kangaroos and wallabies. Saw a lot of those.
Yeah?
Yep.
Did you pick up an Australian accent at all?
No.
Do you have trouble understanding the accent sometimes? Or
there are little phrases here and there that I had to, what'd you say again? But, yeah.
You were saying it took you like 15 hours in the to get there, but only 12 hours to get back? That's
correct.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Going against the jet stream definitely makes a difference, so.
You go past the international dateline, too, so it's like a whole different day, right?
Yep. I think we're a day ahead, so.
Do you have any stories from the trip that you could tell us?
I think another part of what I did was go to the rehabilitation center, so that was a really interesting thing to see, and that's where I saw my first wild cassowary. So they have, the rehab is kind of a, just large enclosures, so kind of fenced in enclosures. They're very large and they have a lot of trees and water in them too, so they're pretty natural. For the most part, they just leave the cassowaries there alone, but they do feed them. And just to let them kind of recover quietly on their own. So they had two juvenile cassowaries there, which was really neat to see. It was also amazing to see how fast they can run when they just have room to run. They can sprint pretty quickly. And then again, just the different kinds of fruit they eat. So there's volunteers chopping up their diet and they feed them kind of, they'll supplement them with the rainforest fruits, but they also give them kind of like we do with ours, different domestic fruits. So apples and grapes and oranges and pears and different fruits like that. But while we were kind of trying to find and keep an eye on the juveniles in the enclosure, a big female cassowary just walked out of the forest, and she just was casual. She just walks in, and we just kind of watched her a little bit, and she kind of walked up the path around the enclosure, and we kind of followed her a little bit, and she didn't seem to mind us. We were kept a safe, respectful distance, but she was just kind of walking around foraging and doing her thing, and that was really neat to see. I was told, I think her name was Bella, so a lot of the cassowaries in this area are tracked, and they have names, and there's even a Facebook page that allows the community to post pictures of cassowaries and track where people have seen them, where they're crossing roads, so people can be careful about where they're driving or when they're driving. So this particular cassowary's name was Bella, and I was told she was about 55 years old, and they know that from just having tracked her for such a long time and seeing her around so frequently. So that was really impressive to see her.
So how many wild cassowaries did you see?
Not too many, which, again, they are endangered. This area is the highest density of them, but they're very secretive, and you get that when you visit there. They blend in really well with the rainforest. So the rainforest goes basically right up to the road. They do have kind of a moat area along the roads, but once they get into the forest, they just disappear immediately. So, and again, they're solitary. Right now they have chicks this time of year, but it's not going to be like wallabies or kangaroos where they have, there's large groups of them hanging around together. Mm-hmm. You're only going to see one here, one there, and they do have territories as well. So there's only one bird per territory. But we saw a couple along the roadside, a dad and chicks. We saw that female and, again, the juveniles in the rehab. So.
Well, it sounds like you had a great time and learned some information about cassowaries, and also we're able to bring some knowledge back for us to help us with our cassowary. So let's switch gears here and talk about birds at Blank Park Zoo. And we might as well just start with the cassowaries.
Sure.
First off, we had a chick hatch earlier this year. Tell us about that, why that was special, and all the information you know about the chick, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Cassowaries are kind of fairly difficult to breed in captivity. Not many zoos are producing chicks, and there's just a lot of challenges, again, with breeding them in captivity. Pairs aren't always compatible, so, again, they're solitary animals. Sometimes there is aggression or just challenges, or they just don't like each other when you put them together. So you kind of have to have the right pair and get lucky sometimes. So we have an older male big bird, and he was originally from Florida. And we have a younger female, Sydney, who's also originally from Florida. And we got big bird first, and then Sydney came to us a couple years later. And we were lucky that they were just compatible and got along with each other. And we only put them together during the breeding season, so it's usually springtime for them. And that's what they would do in the wild, is they'd be solitary, and then during the breeding season, they'd go into each other's territories, kind of find each other. So Sydney's been laying eggs for a couple years now. They haven't been fertile, and that's kind of common for younger birds to have a few infertile clutches. And then this year, we were lucky enough to have a successful hatch. So the male incubates the eggs, and Big Bird did all the incubating himself, so we just kept the eggs under dad. The incubation's around 55 days, so quite a long time for birds. But they're a pretty big size egg, so it takes time. And then our chick hatched in June, so I think June 10th was his hatch day. And he's been really fun to watch ever since. He's still with dad, so dad will take care of him, show him how to eat, what to eat, where to sleep, all those different kinds of things. So it's been really fun to watch them interact with each other and run around. The chick gets, he's kind of that age where he gets a lot of zoomies now, and he just runs around the yard really quickly. So that's really fun to watch.
Sort of remind you of, if you've seen Jurassic Park, you know, some of those dinosaur birds running around.
Yeah,
and
for
that's
sure.
What the chick looks like when it runs around. Tell us, how big was the bird when it hatched, and how big is he now?
He was probably about the size of a mango when he was hatched, only a few hundred grams. And now he is about 4.5 kilograms, and he's pretty tall.
So that's about 9 pounds.
Yep, nine pounds. And he's maybe about 1.5 feet tall, almost 2 feet tall. So they grow pretty rapidly.
Yeah. And talk about the color difference between the males and the babies.
Yeah, so chicks definitely need to blend in and hide a little better than adults do. So they're kind of striped. They're light brown with stripes. So they kind of resemble a watermelon, a lot of people think, and call them little watermelon babies. about 3 to 5 months, they lose their stripes and become just all light brown. And they'll stay that way for a couple years until they get their adult black feathers in.
And predators, what are their main issues other than habitat loss? What are some of the predators that go after them?
Obviously, in Australia, I have a lot of feral animals, invasive animals that are non-native. And one of those is the wild pig. So they can definitely, they're one that they'll get into the nests, so they'll eat the eggs and disturb the nests. They'll also compete for food and different things like that. So that's one of the bigger problems. Sometimes there's dog attacks or just people letting their dogs off leash. So that can either injure chicks if they get a hold of a chick, or eggs, or just upset the cassowaries and chase them off. But
there was some pretty cool video that I don't know if you caught it or a guest caught it. I think it was a guest. got it this summer of our female cassowary swimming in the pond. And our pond has duckweed, which is a really good green. It's not algae. It's a good, healthy weed for a pond to have. So do you remember that video? Can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, so cassowaries actually really like the water, and they are also really good swimmers, too, which you wouldn't think, but they can definitely swim. And when it gets hot out, like most animals, they just want to cool down. And so her way of cooling down is just to jump into the pond, and she'll crawl in there. Sometimes she'll even roll around on her back and just submerge herself in. She kind of looks like a swamp monster when she gets out with all the duckweed. So, but it's just another strategy to cool down. I think she just likes to play and splash around in the water.
Tell us some of the other birds we have in that area of the zoo. I know everyone knows the kookaburra and its laugh. Why don't you start with the kookaburra and then tell us some of the other birds we have over there?
Yep, so in our Australia section, yep, definitely have kookaburras. So you can usually hear them, and they're pretty vocal sometimes. We have our parakeet exhibit and feeding, so that's one where we have over 100 parakeets that you can go into their habitat and feed them, which is pretty cool. We also have a pair of Eclectus parrots, so right as you kind of enter Australia, we have a male and female Eclectus, and those were actually rescued birds, so they were private birds that people couldn't take care of anymore, so
yeah, one of them we gave talks, them a home. Right?
Yep.
One of them
talks. They talk a little bit. Yep. You can't make them talk, but if you say hello, maybe you'll hear something back.
Yeah, they told me hello. How are you?
Yep.
And then I walked through there earlier this year.
Our female really loves to make telephone noises, so it's kind of fun to hear the question. At first, you were, what is that? But it's just our female.
We did some work in the other aviary down there as well, so tell us what's in that aviary right now.
We're still trying to repopulate that aviary, so hopefully in the coming months and definitely next year, you should see a few new faces in there, hopefully. But right now we have our tawny frog mouse, which are kind of a nocturnal. They look like an owl, but they're not related to owls, but they're a nocturnal bird. Sometimes it's hard to see them because during the day they just stand really still and they have great camouflage. They kind of look like a tree branch. But they're out in that exhibit. And we also have some blue-faced honey eaters, which are kind of a small passerine, and they're really active. They have really cool bare blue faces. And we just had a honey eater chick this year, too, as well. So he's out there hopping around, playing around with mom and dad.
And our final question is, this is sort of the time of year where some birds go away from the zoo, and we bring other birds in to other zoos. Because it's fall, it's nice and cool, and it's good for animal transport. So are you excited for any species that you know are coming in for next year?
We are getting some masked lapwings for the Australia aviary. So those are kind of cool shorebirds. Again, they kind of have little black wattles and a yellow face, so you should see them next year in our aviary. And those are the next things that I'm excited about getting.
Well, okay, so, you know, we just got the half hour flew by, and so we just got to talk about Australia and Australian birds and the cassowary, and so we'll have you back another time to talk about the Discovery Center and some of the other birds we have here at Blank Park Zoo. And so if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head over to our website at blankparkzoo.com, and we'll see you next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.